Good morning. What a joy it is to get to gather together today, online and here in person, and for those of you watching the recording later, welcome, to gather together today to be a part of what God is doing here at Zion and in the world. On this Easter day, on this day the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. I want to talk with you today about things that look empty, but are actually full. Things that are empty, but actually full. Now, the pessimists here can all agree that this vase is empty. There's nothing in it, or at least nothing that we can see. It's empty. However, the optimists here would say that this vase is full. It's full of carbon dioxide and nitrogen and oxygen and water vapor, and there's space. And a creative person like Brenda would say, well, this is a vessel full of opportunity, right? This is a vase that could hold some beautiful flowers or some pens or a drink of water. This is a vase full of opportunity. But the thing is that we don't know yet how the vase is going to be used. There's possibilities. It's open. And this is similar to each day. As Schopenhauer said, each day is a little life. We wake up in the morning, and whether our days are full or empty, there's countless possibilities. And here's the thing, we don't usually know ahead of time what God is up to, right? And so we greet each day with our own set of expectations of how the day will go, of what will happen. And some people like Deb are really great at being open to the possibilities of the day. When they're praying, they say things like, God, however you want to use me today, I'm available. I'm ready. And if they were thinking about the vase, they'd say, whether you want to use me to hold some flowers or to be a drink of water for someone, I'm ready. And this is something I struggle with. We call this being open-handed because your hands aren't closed, right? You're open to the possibilities. And being open-handed does not come easily to me. I have to really work at this. When I'm grieving or confused, I expect God to show up in certain ways. So if I'm the vase and God is saying he wants to use me to hold some flowers, and I am expecting something different, all I see and feel is my emptiness. I'm disappointed. Expectations can lead to emptiness. And I want to encourage you today in what Scripture says about being empty and being full. This passage today is so full of good news, I couldn't fit it all into one sermon. And so we'll spread it out over a couple of sermons. But let's start with John 20, verses 1 to 18. And you are welcome to read along or to listen as I read our scripture for today. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, it's confusing. Mary Magdalene, that's the woman who had been plagued by seven demons, and Jesus set her free. She went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running as fast as Levi was running around here before the service. She came running to Simon Peter. Wait a minute. To Simon Peter? Isn't he the disciple that a few days before, does anyone remember? She came running to Simon Peter. That's interesting. And the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. Now let's get this out of the way right here at the beginning. Jesus loved all the disciples. John had just received it. John is this writer of our gospel. He's the other disciple. And Mary says, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. And we don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. I hear chariots of fire in my head at this point. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Boy, he's making a point of that. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him, maybe huffing and puffing, out of breath, and went straight into the tomb. Already, we have three very different personalities in this passage of Scripture. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. Do you notice that all three people notice very different things? Mary Magdalene stopped when she saw the stone. John saw the strips of linen, and Simon Peter, who barged all the way in, also saw the cloth. God uses every personality, and we all notice different details. We're all needed in all our diversity. That's another whole sermon. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Now, why is that important? As much as I sometimes wish this was a lesson in cleaning up after yourself, all the parents say to their kids, why can't you keep your room clean like Jesus did? No, this is important because it's a sign that Jesus is alive. It's a sign that Jesus' body wasn't stolen. When persons stole from a tomb, they were looking for riches and a quick getaway. And so unwrapping Jesus' body and neatly putting one cloth here and one cloth, it doesn't add up. Finally, the other disciple, this is John, who had reached the tomb first, he's not letting it go, he also went inside. Now catch this, he saw and believed. They still did not, this is parentheses, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So he believed, but he didn't believe. Maybe his belief is half full. And that's how belief is, right? It grows over time. It doesn't just happen all at once. Sometimes it goes backwards and then it goes forward. Okay, then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener. Oh, how right she is. He's absolutely the gardener. There's new creation popping up all over the place. The seeds that Jesus had been scattering all throughout the years of his ministry, the seeds he scattered in his death that only he could do, he's the gardener. She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary," because the good shepherd knows the sheep and calls them each by name. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now, Jesus had not ascended to the Father, I think in part because he was there for Mary in an unexpected way. And this translation implies that the whole community of the faithful, my brothers and sisters, the Greek in the next verse means something broader than the word disciples. It means students. So when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Well, maybe, but in an unexpected way. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told him that he had said these things to her. Now, I wonder if anyone, just by a show of hands, anyone remembers what happens in the scripture right before this story? Who remembers? No one remembers what happens right before this story. What's the obvious? You don't have to tell me, but just, okay. So right before this story is Jesus' death, right? And Nick at night, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea come and they take Jesus' body and they care for him. And they place him in the tomb. And it was a new tomb where no body had ever been placed before. It was empty. And those of you with Bibles nearby here and online, I invite you to look at the ending of chapter 19, verse 42, which says, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Now go to the next verse, the beginning of chapter 20, verse 1. In my Bible, they left out some stuff, so I'm hoping yours has more details here. Because all it says is early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed. Does anyone else have something extra in your copy of the Bible? Mine is missing something. I've got some questions about what happened and how it happened. Does anyone else have questions? Yes, good, we're empty together. Chapter 19, Jesus is placed in the tomb. Chapter 20, early in the morning, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene's stone rolled away. Why would God have this pivotal story that everything else hinges on, and not provide us with all the answers? In most Bibles, the heading over today's passage is probably the empty tomb. I find that hilarious. Now, and I'm not a Bible scholar, so I defer to other people. God uses every kind of person, those who see the big picture and those who notice the details. The tomb looked empty because from all appearances, Jesus' body is no longer there. Absolutely. But the tomb was full. The tomb was full of signs that Jesus is alive. The strips of linen, the cloth from around Jesus' head, the two angels. All signs that Jesus had filled all the prophecies and all the promises from Scripture about his death and resurrection. Hebrews 10:23 says, God who promised is faithful. All of this points to a man who is not just an extraordinary gardener and teacher, but someone who is also God. So at first glance, the tomb may look empty, but look inside. There's new life. There's new possibilities. If you can If you can empty out your expectations, then it's easier to receive what God is doing. Second Corinthians 4:7 says we have this treasure, that's Jesus, in jars of clay, that's us. We're the vessel. We've been filled, made with a purpose to hold Christ for someone, to be poured out for the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before God created, the world looked empty. It wasn't empty. God was there. What have you been looking at as though it's empty and God is really there? Is it yourself? Is it this building? God made us to hold Christ for one another and to be poured out for the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus fulfills the promise. And Jesus is available to you and to us. I wonder if you, I've been pondering it this week, will you allow Jesus to fulfill his purpose through you? You are made to be a disciple of God, a student of Jesus. Whether or not you know it yet, you are the disciple that Jesus loves. The Spirit of God is waiting to fill all those empty places in you. We know God is powerful enough. God raised Jesus from the dead, conquering sin and evil and death. God is powerful enough. And we know God is faithful enough. God fulfills every promise. Today, may we see that God is still our wise teacher, waiting for the student to turn around and see that Jesus is not just the gardener sowing seeds and weeding out what is needed, weeding out what isn't needed. Jesus is teacher. For Jesus, it doesn't matter if we are on Easter break or online school or school in person. Your age doesn't matter. Even what we've done or left undone no longer matters. Scripture says nothing can separate us from God's love. I believe that. So Jesus' school is always open. Jesus is waiting on a disciple who will receive the unexpected and even the unexplainable. A disciple who wants to be set free like Mary Magdalene. A disciple who, like Simon Peter, denied Jesus. A disciple like John who knows the unexplainable truth that we are loved by Jesus despite our sin and our shame. Jesus' death fulfilled every debt that we can never repay. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. That's John 8:36. You aren't empty. Jesus and the Holy Spirit live in you. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it to the full. Everything has changed now. Jesus died and rose again. that we might have a full life, an unexpected life? Can we be open-handed to receive these perplexities and mysteries? It takes perseverance and faith. Thankfully, both are given by the Holy Spirit. And some of you, when I spoke about the teacher, thought, I hated school. I was a terrible student. Well, let that be the point for you today. It doesn't matter how good a student we are. It's okay if you're a slower runner than John. It's okay if you've been focused on telling everyone you're loved. It's okay if you have something inside you that needs God's healing touch. Jesus is the best teacher for every student. And more than that, Jesus is our Savior, the Son of God, who came for every person so that we can bring our emptiness that we all have and be filled over and over again. May we be confident of this, that God who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I pray that someone will receive today that Jesus is calling you by name, inviting you to a fuller life with God, inviting you to empty out your expectations and be filled with God's Spirit and love, inviting us to hold Christ for one another, to be poured out for the world. As the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians, I pray for us that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. I pray that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know from the teacher, the Son of God, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.